Will you turn to Matthew 6, please? Matthew 6. This is called For Father's Eyes Only. We're going to cover Matthew 6, 1 to 21. We're up to Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And 6:1, Matthew 6:1 is an important turning point in this sermon. Up until the end of Matthew 5, Jesus has talked mostly about how his followers relate to people. And Matthew 6 is how we relate to God. So the first four Beatitudes, generally, in chapter 5, are about our relationship with God. And the last five Beatitudes are more about our relationship with people. And so Jesus has stayed on that topic, on our relationship with people, for the rest of Matthew 5. And now in chapter 6, he moves back to our relationship with God. And when Jesus spoke to his followers about how we relate to God, the first thing Jesus wants to know is, who do we hope is watching us? He starts with a warning. Be careful. Jesus was afraid something would go wrong among his followers. We would care more about what people think than about what our Father thinks. That's it. How much does it matter to you and me that people think we are good Christians? How far would we go to make sure people don't see what poor Christians we really are? How far will I go to make sure people don't find out how poor in spirit I really am? And for Jesus, what is wrong with going down that path? What happens if we do the right thing so that people will think we're good Christians? What trouble lies down that path? And the answer is, we will lose the Father's reward. We will miss out the Father's reward. Be careful not to lose your reward. Chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, says Jesus. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven will reward us for our righteous actions. That's what normally happens. That's the way things ought to be. This text does not say how or when he will reward us, so we'll leave that alone. In his way and time, the Father rewards our right actions. But if we're not careful, we will lose this reward, and that's what Jesus warns about. Here's how we lose it. We do the good things we do so that people will see us and respect us. Poof! The Father's reward is gone. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And that, Jesus knows, would be a tragic loss. And Jesus next gives three examples of this, three different kinds of righteousness, righteous acts: alms, giving money to the poor, that's the first one, prayer is second, and third is fasting. But in each, he's just explaining this same truth. Do it for your Father, Jesus says, so you don't lose your reward. And by righteous practice, Jesus means just about anything we would do because we're God's children. So that would include everything in Matthew 5, as well as giving to the poor and praying and fasting. And now let's look how Jesus ends this section in verses 19 to 21. So 6:1 is the beginning, verses 19 to 21, how he ends this. Where is your treasure? Where is your reward? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So verses 1 and 2 said, don't practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Then he ends in verse 19, don't store up for yourself rewards on earth where they don't last. Store up for yourself rewards with your Father in heaven where they last. For where your rewards are, there your heart will be also. We talked about motives last sermon. What motivates us to live in God's ways? And there are several good reasons to obey the Lord. And wanting to imitate our Father in heaven is a good reason. We want to be like him, to do what he does. Here, Wanting the Father's reward is also a good reason. Our Father will repay us, and we want that, and that's good. The Sermon on the Mount ends with warnings, and Jesus has already mentioned hell three times. Jesus finds fear a final judgment, an entirely acceptable reason to listen to him and follow his teaching as well. Jesus often warned his people about judgment, but here in Matthew 6, we obey to receive the Father's reward. Give to the needy in secret. This is Matthew 6, 2, verses 2 to 4. Give to the needy in secret. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will repay you. Hypocrites did not actually announce their giving with trumpets. Jesus is having fun with his audience here, having them imagine this, because his audience has all seen people give money who certainly wanted others to notice, and maybe you have seen that too. Hypocrites are those whose words and actions don't fit each other. Their words tell us that they serve God, but their actions tell us they want something else. In Jesus' day, hypocrite was the word for actor, and it was not really a bad word. But Jesus calls his people to be pure in heart and not to pretend. So being an actor isn't good when you're following the Lord. But again, it's reward. For Jesus, the question is not, what will the reward be? Rather, who will reward us? If we do our righteousness for our Father, then our Father will reward us. And if we do it for people, people will reward us. And all the way through this teaching, my brothers and sisters, you can feel our Lord's urgency about not missing the Father's reward. That would be a very sad loss. Make sure you don't miss that, says Jesus. If we do our good things for people, their seeing us will be our reward. And in a sense, it is the reward we choose. But Jesus says you're going to miss out. Why do we do things God has asked? Here, two choices. We do it to please God, or we do it to impress people. We're afraid of people finding out what bad children of the Father we really are. So, says Jesus, give in secret. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He does not tell us to stop giving until our reason is right. He tells us how to give so that we'll more naturally be doing it for the Father's eyes only. And then the good thing will happen. The Father will reward us. It's not wrong to give publicly, so that everyone knows we're giving. In Acts, the believers brought large gifts and gave them to the apostles. Sharing possessions was entirely open. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to look more generous than they were, and that was a big problem. But believers still gave openly after that. Giving openly is not wrong. It is not wrong. It's fine. It was done in the Bible. But, as always, guard your motives. Pray to the Father in secret, verses 5 and 6. This is the second specific example. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. And I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will repay you. So the actors say they are praying to God, but when you watch them, it's clear they are doing it for people. They are pretenders, actors, and you can see that from their praying. Their loss is that what they have already gotten, all the reward they will get. So Jesus exaggerates here. Again, in Acts, we have several examples of public prayer. The Bible is full of open prayers. Jesus does not mean all prayer should happen in a room alone. He means pray so God will hear, not so people will hear. This is a chronic problem for me. A congregation needs to pray together And one good way for that to happen is for one person to pray out loud and the others pray along with their minds and hearts. It's good and it's important, and our church does that with lots of people all the time. But for the one leading the prayer, like me, wanting to lead a group to God's throne wanders away into wanting the group to see how godly I am. And I catch myself at this, and you have perhaps caught me at this too. It's not good. We still need to do it. God's people need to be led in prayer, but we need to be careful that we are actually talking to the Lord. Jesus now is going to teach more about prayer in this section, verses 7 to 15, but we're going to leave that for the next sermon. We're going to skip over verses 7 to 15. The Lord's Prayer is in there and some other teaching about prayer, and we'll cover that the next sermon. Let's talk about something else here that you may be wondering about. What happens when we do the right thing, we serve God's people or we help someone, because we've decided to live that way, but we're not actually thinking about God? Does Jesus mean there is no reward unless we are actually thinking about God? No, he does not mean that. At the end of Matthew 25, Jesus talks to people, that's a parable about judgment. Jesus talks to people who took care of him when he was needy and in trouble, and he talks to others who ignored him and did nothing for him when he was needy and in trouble. And what is striking about that parable is that none of those people, either the good or the bad, were thinking about Jesus. They weren't thinking about doing anything for him. So our motives can be pure and pleasing to God without us actually concentrating on God or the Lord, because Matthew 25 is about final judgment, and that's what they're measured by. I mean, our mind is not that big. We've got limitations. If we have a situation in front of us right now that demands our attention, we cannot be going into action and concentrating on God at the same time. We can have pure motives that please God without thinking of him directly. That's the point. Here's another one. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that we should let our good works shine before people so they would see us and glorify the Father. Here's Jesus says, do it all in secret. But in chapter 5, Jesus taught mostly about how we treat people. It's how we treat people that makes us salt and light. And here Jesus speaks about how we treat God, offerings, prayers, fasting. That the world does not need to see those things as much. The world needs to see how we care for one another and how we are merciful and peaceful toward everyone. And they will find out about the rest, but the emphasis is on how we're treating people. That's what they need to see. Not how devoted our religious practice is. That's not what makes us different. Fast so no one can tell, verses 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show people they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to people that you're fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will repay you. So this is the same as the rest, and Jesus shows us two different ways to fast, one that makes people the audience, and the other that makes God the audience. Do it the way that makes God the audience, says Jesus, so that you get the Father's reward. There's something very good here. Don't miss that. Pharisees did not think other Jews were taking the scripture seriously, and the Pharisees wanted to be the ones who did take scripture seriously and showed others what that looked like. That was good. We evangelicals also see ourselves as those who take the scripture seriously, and we try to live that out. But it can go wrong, and we can end up just wanting to look like that. I'm not sure what to do about fasting. Jesus seems to assume his followers were fast. Jews had regular fasts, and prayer and fasting are mentioned a couple of times in Acts. In the olden days, Dave the Builder and I would fast one day a week. We did that for a 2 or 3 month stretch, a few different stretches like that. I would pick something to pray for on that day. I did not experience anything special from God, but that's not why I was doing it. I was doing it. I fasted. I think the point of fasting is a way it accompanies prayer, and it tells God that I'm very concerned about this thing I'm praying about. It is a way of letting God know how concerned we are about the thing we're praying for. Marilyn and I had 4 young children in those days. And Marilyn told me once that on the days I fasted, she tried to keep the children away from me. Hunger does put me in a desperate mood. There's no doubt about that. I thought I was doing well managing this. But when she said she kept our children away from me on those days, I quit. 4 young children are enough work without a grumpy father sulking around. So God didn't need that. And I have not done it since. None of the letters to the churches ever mention fasting. It's not mentioned in the New Testament after the middle of Acts. So I take it that for some it's a good idea, but it cannot ever have been a priority in New Testament church life. But we can put other things in there that we can do for our Father. Many of us have private practices that we do for our Father in heaven. And that's wonderful. It's perfect. He sees you and will repay you for sure. Jesus just says, make sure we're doing it for our Father and not for people, and he will reward you. Don't store up for yourselves rewards on earth where they don't last. Store up for yourselves rewards with your Father in heaven where they last. Where your rewards are, that's where your heart will be. So my brothers and sisters, don't do too much introspective hunting for bad motives. Find ways to honor God that people can't see. That's what Jesus said to do. And talk to your Father in heaven about this. Tell him you want to seek him and his righteousness and that you want his name to be honored. And if you're worried about motives, turn it into prayer. The cure is not inside us. Look at the Father and ask the Father. Amen. Let's pray. God our Father, the good news here is that you reward everything we do for you, and that it would be awful to miss that. And if we aim ourselves toward you, we will have reward in heaven and treasure in heaven. So Father, there's nothing wrong with this. Lead us to live this way. Help us live this way. Send your Spirit so we will have our eyes on you and act like it. And Father, you have already begun this. We have done the right thing just because you were children, just because we're your children, many times. So thank you for shaping us with your Spirit and freeing us so that we could do things for you. It is our joy. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? To our Father in heaven, who is able to keep us from stumbling and to bring us into his presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.